Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Being Alive Day, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming your way in 20 minutes, Bearcats AD John Cunningham, as Cincy makes the transition to a Power 5 conference, and will open up against Oklahoma as they enter their brand new Big 12 era. Also, in 40 minutes, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. And my topic sheet just says, Shep put somebody on blast. And that's all I need to know. Now I'm completely locked into sound check. Now I'm totally fired up for this. I was just waxing poetic yesterday about the creamsicle Buccaneers uniforms as they're bringing them back for one game this year. And this all folds into the Patriots will have a Pat Patriot game this year, the old school unis. The Eagles will also have a Kelly Green uniform day game this season. And this all folds into the NFL finally relenting on the one shell rule. When everything blew up about CTE and the Will Smith movie came out, Concussion, and everybody was freaking out about brain injuries, brain trauma in the NFL went hyper careful and said, we're not going to allow more than one helmet for the entire year for any of these teams. And so if you think about the throwbacks that were in play, all of the throwback uniforms and helmets had the same base color helmet. So take the Dolphins, for example. The Dolphins have a white base helmet, and so they could just slap the old school 1970s, 1980s logo on that. But you couldn't change the actual color of the helmet. Think about the Giants. The Giants have a different color blue helmet than they did back in the 80s, but they could put the 80s Giants across the front of the helmet. Now you can have multiple shells, multiple helmets, and so that has opened up for the Buccaneers to have the creamsicles, and as I said, Kelly Green Eagles, Pat Patriot Whites, all that type of jazz. And I always found this to be remarkably funny because in college football, Oregon has like seven shells. Every team, every school has a metallic shell now. Everybody has a chrome shell to go along with their normal helmet. So either college football was way more unsafe over the last decade and just didn't care, or the NFL was acting like it was safer to have one shell, but really it was just a dog and pony show. My guess is it's more along the second part of things, because if the NFL was so worried about the safety of its players, would it not mandate that college football also had a one-shell rule, considering those are players that eventually will play in the NFL and you would want them to have avoided significant head injuries for the 3 or 4 years they are playing in college? But the NFL didn't step on any toes in college. So am I really supposed to believe that the one shell was protecting the brains that much more? Seems silly to me. Anyway, we now have a whole new plethora of options open up to us. And a couple of Bills players, including Dawson Knox the other day, posted photos of the old school Bills red helmets. Now, it's funny to call them old school, but they're now more than 12 years old. As the Bills went to these new Josh Allen threads, which are the same logo as the 90s Bills, but the white helmet, obviously. And Since a couple of Bills posted this on social media, the question is, was this just a promotion for a beer, or was it a wink, wink, nod, nod? The Bills are bringing back the Reds.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
And I personally love the current Bills iteration of uniforms. I think they're totally clean. When they flipped to the white helmet with the rushing buffalo and then the blue home jerseys or the white on white, and they cleaned up the font and they cleaned up the striping and they cleaned up all the different colors they had. I mean, remember the Travis Henry years, how ridiculous that pseudo mashup of the 90s and 2000s were. They became instantaneously one of the cleanest looks in the NFL. I love the current Bills jerseys. But since the 90s are back, everything about the 90s apparently is cool these days. You know what? The Bills throwing in a little red helmet, a little splash to Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, and that gang, I'm all for. One game a year, why not? Give me the red Bills helmets. They're not better. These white ones are better. But for one game a year, oh yeah, sign me up. I take that. Take that, take that. I take that. And now knowing we at least get one game a year with these beautiful old-school retro uniforms, I'm so happy! Much better than those damn color rush abominations that they forced down our throats. And it's so funny how so many NFL teams, baseball teams, basketball teams all now realize that their threads from 25 to 30 years ago are actually better than the ones now. Because basically, once they started handing over the design decisions to these Nike boardrooms or boardrooms of designers that have no connection to football or basketball, the sport itself, and have no idea about the history of what the game looks like, they come up with ghastly, garish, disgusting combinations, and then the fans go, oh my God, this is awful, because the general managers or the owners of the marketing department have no idea what they're looking at, and they're like, oops, look what happened to the Cleveland Browns a couple of years ago. Let's let Nike rebrand us! Yay! What are those? Ew, fans hate them. Uh-oh, better go back to the old ones. Yay! Buccaneers. Alarm clock numbers. What? Ew, we hate them. Uh-oh. Let's go back to the others. Yay! Here's a word of the wise. Don't let Nike redesign your uniform. All week long, we have had listeners dial us up and do on-air interviews for the soon-to-be-open executive producer role here on the show. And I have just thought that the efforts from a lot of the listeners to try to really set themselves apart or to be ingratiating themselves to the show, show us how they can help out the program, show us how they can be an asset to Pete the Body behind the glass, have been really stellar. Really, everyone's come off, I thought, very well. They've been trying hard, good effort. But yesterday we had a very unique call. It was from Dan in Mechanicsburg. Now, Dan's been a longtime listener to the show, and Dan has showed up to both Bob's Bar 2 and Bob's Bar 3. He's most notable for actually having slept at Mraz's house. He's still the only listener to have done that, falling asleep at Bob's Bar 2 on the couch downstairs at Bob and Nancy's abode. And he called us up yesterday throwing his hat in the ring. Now, Dan in Mechanicsburg knew he had to try to set himself apart, and so he began by doing some impersonations that we had no idea. Now, he's been tweeting at the show, and he showed up to Bob's Bar, and we thought that his bit was just trash quarterbacks for the 90s and 2000s, those jerseys. You turn around, and there's another David Garrard jersey. You're like, oh my God, where did he find a Kellen Clemens jersey? And little did we know that he actually had an array of impersonations as well. But then, as we were goofing off with Dan in Mechanicsburg, and he was making us laugh, we realized, my God, also Dan in Mechanicsburg has the best laugh ever.
Well, oh, yes. Eat the buddy, bloody. It's me, Macho Dan, Randy Dan. Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful because the laugh is almost like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon covering his mouth and laughing at, like, the balloon crashing. Like, trying to keep it down. You're laughing, but you're trying to keep it down to the house. Or you're laughing under your breath at something that happened at school. The teacher has toilet paper stuck to his shoe.
Eat the body, bloody.
I want to play one more time in its entirety the Dan of Mechanicsburg laugh montage because I was putting this together yesterday after the show and I was dying laughing at the workstation.
Oh, yes. Eat the body, bloody. It's me, Macho Dan, Randy Dan. Oh, yeah.
Macho Man Randy Dan.
I got to the point yesterday where I think either you were bogus ass. You're like, are you playing his laugh over him? And you're like, no.
I thought that was Pete playing drops. That's how good I thought Pete was on drops, that within the same phone call, he could have pulled the first laugh that Dan of Mechanicsburg had and then use it throughout the entire call. But no, Dan was just laughing the entire time with the same, almost the same identical tone.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So, by virtue of laugh alone, I believe Dan has zoomed to the top of the potential producer rankings.
Well, I mean, I'm an easygoing guy. Hey, how's it going, DA?
I actually
make food for Football Food of the Week, so I would have some recipes lined up and actually would make them and taste them and make sure that the listeners would enjoy them.
Now, that's a huge plus as well. A direct blow across the bow to Mraz, I would actually make the Football Food of the Week. The listeners actually like my Football Food of the Week. And I don't even know if that was a good Fat Albert impersonation, but I just appreciate that I picked up, hey, it's Dan of Mechanicsburg. Dan, how you doing? And he opened with, hey, 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 DA.
Hey, 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 how's it going, DA?
It's kind of like a half-hearted Fat Albert.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to blowtorch his way onto the air with Fat Albert, but at the same time, he wanted to let you know, hey, I'm here. I'm here with some Fat Albert for you right out of the chute.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 how's it going, DA? Hey, 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 how's it going, DA?
Hey, 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 hey.
It's like he pulled a prank.
Yes.
And only he knows.
He definitely threw the cherry bomb down the toilet.
Phenomenal. I wish I heard more of that at Bob's Bar.
I know. When we come back on the show, Bearcats AD John Cunningham on the transition to the Big 12. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only radio show where listeners are invited to their childhood homes. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And the Big 12 Media Days are here, which is kind of the official kickoff of college football, which is a great thing. And the Big 12 has a new look. Four new schools are entering the fray. Included in that, Cincinnati. The Bearcats have built one of the best group of five programs in all of college football and now get to test the waters of the Power Five. Joining us here on the show is Athletic Director at Cincinnati, John Cunningham. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, DA. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Just describe what the anticipation is like from the fan base, from the campus, from the alumni going into this brand new era for Cincy.
Yeah, I described it the other day as palpable. I mean, you certainly feel it around campus. You feel it in this city. The city has so much pride in this university. And you just, everywhere you go, people want to talk about the Big 12. The Big 12 means a lot around here. And, you know, I just can't tell you how excited we are. Obviously, we put a lot of time, effort, energy, resources into getting to this point, and then to now have it be the time that we get to go, as you said, test the waters at the Power Five level and compete at the highest level. Our student athletes and coaches are just ecstatic.
You took over as AD back in December of 2019, so you've been at this for about 4 years. When you took over the program, was or took over that position, was one of your intentions to look for Power Five opportunities?
It was the one question that everyone asked me. And it was obvious to me coming in that we needed to be ready. If and when, I always use the term if and when the time was right and we were a good fit for a Power Five conference and maybe specifically the Big 12, we had to be ready. And so taking this job, it was really about making sure that we had the resources in place and making sure that we had the coaches in place and the success on the field of play to be ready if the call was ever to come. And it did. And it's been so much fun since.
So when so much pressure's built up on that one path, when you finally get the invite to the Big 12, and now that it's real, I mean, there's Big 12 Media Days here, so they can't recant. You're in it. You guys have to move forward now. Is there an exhale? Like, oh, God, we got it done.
I was telling somebody the other day, I think I exhaled for about an hour on July 1st and got to celebrate. We've got a new deal with a local brewery to help out with our NIL for a beer called Cincy Light. So I had a Cincy Light beer and got to exhale for about an hour. And then I realized, oh, man, now we got to go compete. Now it's real right now. And I think all of our coaches feel that too. You know, it's been such a fun ride to get to this point. We've won so many games and had so much success. But now it definitely feels real that this is, you know, murderer's row when it comes to week in and week out, having to play high level competition in schools that are resourced above you probably, but certainly at your level. And that's what we're excited about.
AD at Cincinnati, John Cunningham, joining us ahead of the Bearcats' entry into the Big 12. Well, September 23rd is going to be interesting. At Nippert Stadium to open up Big 12 play, is this a good thing or what did the conference do? Bringing Oklahoma to town to open up your first ever Big 12 game. It's a daunting task, but boy, it's exciting. How does it feel?
It's the perfect fit for us to open up Big 12 play. To play that team, that legendary program in Nippert Stadium, one of the oldest football stadiums in the country. Our fan base could not be more excited about it. So to me, it's absolutely the perfect fit. And it's going to be a hot ticket. It's one of the hottest tickets in town. And so that will make a lot of fun.
Yeah, I gotta wonder how many people have hit you up for tickets already on that where you've had to say, guys, I can't help. I'm all out.
That's the one game for sure that that I'm getting hit up on a lot. And, I'm going to have to push them to some other games. We have so many cool, unique stories about teams coming into Nippert for the first time in the Big 12. And so, it's just going to be a really fun season. We've got 7 home games this year, 5 Big 12 home matchups. And, I just can't tell you how much excitement there is around it.
I guess the key here is to ask everybody that hits you up for a ticket for the OU game if they can buy season tickets to the volleyball team or maybe donate to a press box at the Cincinnati Bearcats baseball stadium. You got to leverage this to help out all the other programs.
Leverage is a good thing. We just had Taylor Swift here, and that was the hottest ticket in town, and leverage is a good thing. That's what we always talk about. We've got one of the smaller stadiums in the Big 12. But demand is good, and you can certainly use that demand and leverage it the ways that you need to support other programs and financially support your athletics department.
Did you go see Taylor Swift?
No, I didn't. I was out of town, but boy, did that thing take over this city. I mean, she had 2 shows downtown on what they call the banks, and it was a reminder. We had a couple coaches go. And it was a reminder of how you put on a really good show and how you treat your fans. And then again, kind of the importance of having the hottest ticket in town. And so, you try to learn from all of those types of experiences in this industry. And she puts on a great show.
I saw some of the video from Cincinnati of the crowd just packed to the gills in the stadium and then the fireworks going off. And everybody just going crazy. It was an epic scene. And what you're reminded of is all of us in sports are like, oh, we're, the Super Bowl is huge or the college football playoff is huge. What we do is huge. Then you see a Taylor Swift concert and go, but we're not that huge. That's a different kind of huge.
It's true. It's absolutely, and we've got the Reds going too. And so we had a big Reds weekend and they're on fire and Taylor Swift's playing. And we announced at the exact same time that were, the official entry into the Big 12. So that July 1st weekend around Cincinnati was really special. And it's a sports city and it's an event city. And so that made it really fun.
This is cool. Well, the Reds are in first place. The Bengals have Super Bowl aspirations and the Bearcats are entering the Power 5 as a Big 12 team. They'll start playing the Big 12 Saturday, September the 2nd against Eastern Kentucky at home. They open up Big 12 play against Oklahoma on September the 23rd at Nippert, which should be a sight to see. Joining us here on the show is AD John Cunningham at Cincinnati. John, thanks so much for stopping on by. Best of luck in the Big 12 this season, and I appreciate the time.
Of course. Great to be with you. Take care.
Very good. Big 12 Media Days all throughout the week, and we'll have TCU's head coach Sonny Dykes join us coming up this morning on the show in hour number 4. Speaking of Cincinnati, good time for Cincinnati sports fans. As I just mentioned, Reds are in first place. Bengals have Super Bowl hopes and dreams. UC is going to the Big 12. And how about this little Twitter infographic from Bet Online that they sent along? They did a study of all 30 baseball teams. Who has the friendliest fans? Friendliest fans in Major League Baseball? The Reds came in at number 1. I guess they canvassed Twitter for nice tweets amongst fans and terrible tweets amongst fans. Cincinnati came in number 1. Minnesota, number 2. That seems pretty likely. You ever go to Minnesota? People are incredibly polite, incredibly nice.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very nice. The least friendly teams, fan base, also not that much of a surprise, the Boston Red Sox. It was either the Red Sox or the Phillies, right? There was probably only 2 real answers there, but the Red Sox came in dead last of friendly tweets amongst fans, 2 other fans, etc.
Shocking.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was in Boston for 4 years in the middle of the 20-year run of greatness. So I was there between 2009 and 2013. Now, I saw the Bruins win a Stanley Cup, the Celtics go to the NBA Finals, and the Red Sox
kind of be up and down in the playoffs, but not get to the World Series. They had kind of sandwiched a World Series before and after I had been there. And the Patriots go to the Super Bowl but lose. They had gone back to the Super Bowl the second year after I had left and then won another 3 out of 4 years. But that winning, it begat a lot of just expecting the teams will always be great. And there were old fans that remembered the 70s and 80s and 90s and said, you got to be kidding me. This is not what it's always going to be. This next generation has no idea. These kids holding up signs that I've been to like 8 parades and I'm 8 years old. That is not the way that it used to be around here. And there was a bit of a generational divide of the harsh reality is this is just a moment in time versus a younger generation that just expected every team would always be awesome. And now that Boston is kind of sunk back into a little bit more of normalcy where the Patriots are not going to win the Super Bowl and the Bruins were great last year, but they collapse in the first round and the Celtics are good but can't get over the hump to win a championship and the Red Sox are pretty mediocre. This is now back to a Boston that so many Bostonians actually remember from before 2001. And it's made a lot of people very salty because you got the old folks that are like, yeah, exactly. And young people who are like, what's this? Well, it's the reality for like everybody else forever. Nobody ever wins that much. Standing by with headlines this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Bogeyman?
DA, hello again. Shohei Ohtani was our cold open. He is the biggest name, but not the only one involved in trade rumors as the baseball season resumes tonight.
Let me ask you about Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
First, do you think they will trade him?
I do not.
Do you think they should trade him?
I think if they are completely, utterly out of it by the end of the month, yes.
And what do you think utterly out of it is?
So then they're 5 out now. And I think
5 out of the wild card.
And the wild card, and there's 4 teams in between them the wild card. And the Mariners are right behind them. I think 8's the number for me. If you get to the end of July and you are more than 8 out and there's 4 or 5 teams in front of you as well, that's far enough out for me.
I think you're right. If they're far enough out, it would be crazy to just totally ignore getting a massive package of prospects.
Right.
Of course, not trading him gives you a, quote, upper hand in extending him. But if you're going to be out of it and miss the playoffs again, he's probably less likely anyway to re-sign with you.
Yeah, and I think what he said the other day was, you know, that being on a winning team means more and more every year is at them. I mean, that they're just not a winning team.
This is what they always are.
Right.
Around 500.
And he doesn't owe it to them. It doesn't make him a bad guy if he's to do it. But I also do think he kind of should tell them, I'm not staying here.
That would be best case scenario. If getting to the trade deadline, he goes, I'm not re-signing anyway around here. So you might as well trade me.
Or if you were to trade me now, that would not preclude me from re-signing here.
I think that's a hard thing to believe, that he could get traded away and then come back and sign.
All I'm saying is let's all be adults here and have a conversation.
Yes.
And talk about this, because the worst case scenario to me is for him to leave, as we all assume he's going to, and the best they get back is a compensatory pick that's in the 70s of a baseball draft.
See, I'm not convinced he wants to leave. I think he picked the Angels for a reason. There was strategy behind going to the Angels.
Yes.
It was the West Coast. It was a massive market, but it wasn't the Dodgers. I think he wants a lot of the things that the Angels provide from a geographical standpoint, cultural standpoint, market standpoint, but it's just not the winning. So I'm not convinced he wants to leave if he doesn't have to leave.
But I think he feels like he's got to leave.
You do.
I mean, that's just that the tone seems to have changed a little bit. And it's been 6 years.
That he's got to leave if he wants to win or got to leave to become a bigger entity?
I think to win, just to win.
Just to win.
Just to win. Because I don't think we can fathom how significant he is in back home.
Right.
So, and obviously, he's already got a New Balance deal here, some other things. If he's a Dodger, obviously those things can grow. But, I mean, he's pretty close to, like, maxed out what he makes off the field back in Asia. So, I mean, like, I think now it's really about having success, or at least the idea of success. Like, they're in fourth place in the AL West right now.
I know. See, if I'm the GM, I'm going to him now, and I'm saying, hey, look, we might trade you, but it's not. We are still interested in bringing you back in the off season, but we need to restock, and it will give us a better chance to win next year if we do this now. That's how I would pitch it to them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if he cares about winning there, that's a conversation to have.
Yeah. I've heard some people kick around the Rays as a potential destination. They've got the farm system. Mm-hmm. They're a good team. Would that not be the strangest two-month rental of all time if Shohei Ohtani becomes a Ray for 2 months? That would be so bizarre.
Well, they definitely could win the World Series if that's the case.
They could win the World Series without him.
Yeah.
But yeah, with him, definitely.
Yeah, and that's the thing now. Probably the Angels really missed their chance to trade him a year ago. That was the time where you could have really maxed out the package for him, because now he is just a rental. I'm like, the Rays are not going to sign him. So the Rays are only trading for him for these 2 months. The Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, they're looking at it as a possibility also to have him long-term, woo him now. The Rays want him. So, like, they're not going to give you every – I mean, the names you mentioned in the Yankee rumors are like, guys to me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, last year you'd have to almost demand Jason Dominguez, who is like a – what's his nickname? Something Martian, because he's an alien.
Martian.
Yeah, because he's a switch-hitting, like, 16-year-old center fielder. When they signed him, he was already hitting like he was 26. But you can't ask for him now because, in theory, you're only trading him for 2 months. Hmm. They missed the boat on that. And now they're going to get, you know, we kept mentioning the Soto trade from last year. They'd be lucky, it almost seems like, to get a high-end guy like the Nats did.
August 1 is Shohei Ohtani and Angel. Trade deadline is the 31st?
No, yes. It's the 1st. Okay. That's August 1st.
So is August 2nd is Shohei and Angel?
Yes.
Pete?
No.
Yeah, they don't have the guts to do it.
They don't have the guts, and they wasted too much time. They're not going to get anything of actual tremendous value back. At least I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't give anything, because if I'm a World Series contender, like the Dodgers or like the the Rangers, which they probably wouldn't make the deal. The Braves. I'm going to say, okay, sure. Would Shohei put me over the top? Oh, yeah, for sure. But I already feel great about my chances as it is. Why would I give up prospects when all I have to do is wait 3 more months and then I can just pay money and not have to give up anything else, and then I can have them for the next 10 years?
I said this a couple weeks ago. Some team is going to want to go over the top, and they want to win the World Series now. So they're going to do it for now. They're going to view it as a rental.
Never underestimate a GM that feels like if he wins a World Series today or makes a World Series, gets assigned an extension in the offseason.
Right.
And who cares about the prospects is going to trade him anyway.
But it's no guarantee that Ohtani even re-signs in the winter.
Agreed.
Which is obvious.
Agreed. I think they're going to keep slipping, and I think they're going to trade him. But I like your take of they don't have the guts to do it, because I do wonder if they've got the guts to do it.
They don't have the owner doesn't have the guts. He can't bring himself to be the guy that, because don't forget, he was about to sell the team, said never mind, is keeping it. He's not going to oversee getting rid of him.
There's another part to this. I think there's a chance that they try to off some salary with this if they move Ohtani.
You got
to
take Rendon with him.
Take Rendon with him, and you don't have to give back much. And I think if they can do that, they will do it.
Which probably takes a team like the Rays out of the mix.
Right. Yeah, because Rendon still has how many years left in that?
But even
awful
that,
deal.
And sometimes those deals make sense money-wise, but now you're depleting the point of the trade. The point of the trade is to put 5 or 6 high-end names into your system to fill out the rest of the roster. Now you're making a team take Rendon, so you're saving money, but you're also not getting back what you should be getting back, and you're already not getting back what you should have gotten back for Ohtani in the first place.
But if you're able to shed that salary and sign a couple free agents with Ohtani, potentially in the offseason, that's another way you could go about it, too.
It's an interesting, I mean, we got 2 weeks to see if perhaps the greatest baseball player ever gets traded.
Right. And I mean, and I guess the good news for them is they're playing the Astros and the Yankees right out of the gate, and those are two teams ahead of them in the wild card spot. So they could, in a week from now, if things don't go well, they may already have to be in the position to make up their minds.
When was the last time this has happened? A player of this magnitude at the deadline. The last, like, maybe close to it, not of this magnitude, but a big-time player like this. I think it was Verlander when he got moved the first time from Detroit.
That's one. Two that I can think of, Randy Johnson, when he got traded from the Mariners to the Astros, and they made that run to the playoffs. So he was just a rental.
I mean, Soto should have been last year.
That guy Soto was traded, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's like 11 years old. He's amazing.
Right. But it wasn't a rental, right?
It's not a rental. And he was not great as a Padre initially last year.
I'm thinking of Randy Johnson. I think that was 98. And then Beltran. When Beltran got traded to the Astros and they made the run to the World Series. And he was everything to the Astros. Mm-hmm. He changed the whole thing. But again, that was a rental as well, right? Because he signed it all season with the Mets.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, he's not Ohtani.
No, it's true. Neither one of those guys. And those are great players. Randy Johnson, one of the greatest right-handers ever, left-handers ever, but still neither one of them also pitched or hit home runs.
And that Randy Johnson trade was when the trade deadline was at midnight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was at Shea Stadium when that whole thing was going on.
That was a big one.
That was a big, big talk.
Some other news. Northwestern Baseball has its own issues. Manager Jim Foster fired yesterday for bullying players and fostering a toxic environment. Reportedly, Foster discouraged players from getting treatment for injuries, made at least one inappropriate remark about a female staff member. This was known before this past season, but Foster kept working. Staff members and coaches reportedly wanted to meet with the AD about the problems, but were denied. Meanwhile, defensive coordinator David Braun will run the football team for the coming season after Pat Fitzgerald's firing. Braun was hired from North Dakota State only in January, so was not involved in the hazing scandal. And our nameless city has two football teams with top end players looking for extensions. The green team got theirs done, inking D tackle Quinnen Williams 4 years, $66 million guaranteed. Only Aaron Donald makes more than a yearly average at that position. Williams, a first time all pro and pro bowler last season, thanks to a career high 12 sacks. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogue. Sound check coming up next. On this cut sheet, I see Quinn Ewers discusses shaving his mullet, Britney Spears on Wembanyama, and Shep goes after somebody on the station, which I'm fired up about. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. The DA show, always available in podcast form. The best of the show, or the full 4 hours, plus the PGP, permission granted podcast, all available anywhere that you get your podcasts and on the free Odyssey app. We begin with Kyler Murray. We talked about this quote yesterday on the show. The podcast finally was unveiled via the Cardinals. This is the Cardinals Flight Plan podcast.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Especially when, you know, I feel like since I've been in the league, all we've done is go up. You know, I got better every year. And then to take like a, you know, hit a wall year four after, especially after going through the whole contract thing, like I got COVID in camp. I hurt my wrist in camp, so I missed a lot of those reps. And then trying to play catch up during the season, it was just kind of like a compilation of things going on. But you work your whole life to kind of, I've done everything right as far as off the field, on the field, you know what I'm saying? I try to treat people the right way, but it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? I think winning cures all.
Quote, I got better every year. Quote, I've always done everything the right way. I treat people the right way. Spoken like a true 13-year-old gamer. That's your franchise quarterback. I got better every year. I do everything the right way. Okay. Here's Quinn Ewers, Longhorns QB at Big 12 Media Days. He went from mullet to no mullet.
Definitely heard the noise, for sure. So, it always comes. They loved it, but ultimately I looked at it like it was time for me to kind of grow up, you know, get myself, you know, right. And it was too long, man. It was like touching my back. I was kind of weird.
It was impressive, Quinn.
You know, I'm never going to kill a kid of how he wears his hair, especially in college. I kind of feel like if Quinn Ewers just wanted to do the mullet, it's not going to really affect how I look at him in the draft. If we got to the NFL and he's still sporting a mullet to kind of be funny and quirky and ironic or whatever, I'd be like, now you're really like being paid like a lot of money and you're a franchise QB, et cetera. But I don't know. Mullet in college, I feel like I can laugh it off, no big deal. You don't have to worry about kind of growing up as a quarterback in Texas.
Maybe, but I'll speak for myself and Pete and other older, follically challenged people. The amount of hair that boys are growing under the age of 18 these days, the hairs, it's ridiculous, these haircuts. Floppy mops, hairs everywhere, mullets going over their ears, huge bangs. There's a lot of, what do they call it, salad, lettuce? Boy, what's the Zoomer
lettuce
thing?
Lettuce. Or you go one step further. Lettuce in Spanish is lechuga. Sometimes in college, you say, nice chug.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like they're taunting us.
Yeah.
You can't grow it. We can grow it in spades.
Yeah, and then the beards, too. The beards are long. And that's even worse. Mm. You see a guy with a long beard, and you have no hair.
We're jerks.
We're basically talking like a bunch of old guys of the 60s. These damn hippies! Shave your hair! Your beards!
Devin had facial hair!
Clean it up! Here's Britney Spears via all of her social media channels.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Not getting the benefit of the doubt from Wembanyama fan.
I heard on the news saying that I deserve to be smacked. Security was doing their job and protecting their client. I've been with the most famous people in the world, NSYNC at one time. Girls would like literally throw themselves at them. On my way into the place, actually, I was knocked down by like 3 12-year-olds, my security not one time touched them or even came near them. And I did get an apology, but I have yet to receive a public apology.
Yeah, there was something really depressing about this video. Britney has her eyes kind of glazed over. She's still wearing crop tops. She's probably 40-something years old at this point in time. You know, she's talking about getting hit by Wembanyama's team. She doesn't deserve the hate. It's like, ugh. This did not help out your cause. Although Mraz does have a Britney Spears t-shirt. And we're talking about traveling with NSYNC on the road 25 years ago. You're like, oh boy. Finally, I haven't heard this clip, and I need to hear it. Here is Shep from last night.
Shep, how are you this evening? You good?
I'm exhausted, JR. How are you?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry. We need a 5-hour or coffee?
We need other people to step up. That's what we need.
Oh, well, damn. Do I need the side? Well, not a coffee or 5-hour. You need to send an email?
I need, there needs to be a consensus around here in general where people understand where if they're hired, they need to step up and do their part.
Okay.
I'm being 1,000% honest right now. You and I do a lot here. And there's a lot of people, yes. And there are a lot of people here. That do a lot here. Everybody needs to get that memo. That's how I'm doing.
Okay. What more? There ain't nothing I can add to that. Nothing. Shep said it all. Shep has spoken. Shep wisdom. All right, Shep. Well, let me know if I need to send an email or make a trip to New York, okay?
We're good. It's a generational thing, JR.
Okay. Let's pull down the music here and getting into some Detective Milkshake area. What do we think happened? He says generational. So this is clearly somebody young who has been recently hired.
Right.
And so this is a tape op, my guess is. Somebody at night working that didn't edit tape the right way.
I think I know what happened.
Okay.
Pete Bellotti on the case. Dum dum.
No, we had to have a fill-in for Amy a couple nights ago because the fill-in called out. So we couldn't get anyone in terms of the time, so Shep did Amy's show as well, and he got an extra day off.
Wow. Oh. He produced Amy's show?
Oh, he produced Amy's
yes.
show.
Yes. Mm.
So somebody who was supposed to produce bailed at the last second, and it was a younger guy?
I know who it is.
Yes.
Me too.
Do we say it now, or do we tease it till the next hour?
Oh, we tease it, obviously.
Well, of course.
Okay. So we're going to put this on blast, all right? So Shep is upset that a producer younger than him bailed on a responsibility forcing Shep to have to do it.
I think he's upset more at that no one else stepped up. That'd be my guess.
Okay, more on this when we come back here on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.